الله. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن عرين الذنوب ومطردة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب، وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, we place the scales of justice for the day of resurrection, so no soul will be treated unjustly at all. And if there is even a weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it forth, and sufficient are we as an accountant. وقال تعالى: يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا ويحذركم الله نفسه والله رؤوف بالعباد. The day every soul will find what it has done of good present before it, and what it has done in evil, it will wish that between itself and that evil was a great distance. Allah warns you of himself, and Allah is most kind to his servants. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to lecture number 40 in our series on Ikhlas and its related subjects. In our last session, we completed the reading of the chapter Bayanu Darajat al-Shawa'ibi wal-Afati lil-Ikhlas, the explication of degrees of impurities and evils that corrupt and stain our sincerity. And in that discussion, we pondered the details of the trickery and deceptions and traps of Shaitan, the traps that Shaitan uses to corrupt our intention at different levels. And in that, we read three broad points, which I will quickly summarize before we move on. The first was the corrupting influences in our intentions are varied. They're varied in types and intensity. You have jaliyun wa khafiyun wa qawiyun wa dha'ifun. Jaliyun is the apparent, which can be easily discerned. You can easily discernible. You can spot it. You can see it. And then you have khafiyun, which is subtle and hidden and difficult. And these can come in different combinations as well. You can have something that is subtle but strong, and something that is weak, but something that is apparent but weak. But note that all of these, the abstruse and hidden ones are like what was said in hadith, a black ant walking on a black stone in a pitch black night. That is, in other words, it is very hard to see. This is known as the ashirk al-khafi, the one where you show. And it was this that worried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he saw the Sahaba discussing Dajjal. He said, shall I not tell you what I'm more concerned about for you than Dajjal? Dajjal is the fitna, the corruption, the test that will come, that every prophet who came warned their followers of it, and of the coming of that fitna. And yet, over and above that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma huwa akhwafu 'indi lakum," it is al-shirk al-khafi, the hidden shirk. So here Imam Ghazali is calling our attention to it. And what he did was that in that chapter he uses the example of prayer in public to delineate the differences between these categories. The first category being the easiest to spot, which is that Shaitan says to the person, look, people are looking at you. People are looking at your prayer, so beautify it. They may think good of you, or at least they may not think bad of you, or they may not backbite against you. And then the person falls for that trap. But then there's a level beyond that, the second level, which is more subtle, and in that the person becomes aware of this trick of Shaitan, and he will not respond. He's conscious of the trick when Shaitan says, "Oh, show." So Shaitan then changes tact, and he decides to approach them from the perspective of doing good. He then says to him, "Oh, you know, people respect you. People follow you. You are influential. You know, you're an influencer, as we now have this new urge, this new fashion. Everyone wants to be an influencer. So people, especially if you're known in the community, people, Shaitan comes and says, look, people know you. So if they see you praying properly, if they see you praying nicely, then they may also pray nicely. They may learn something. And if they learn how to pray by looking at you, then you will get the reward. And so the person then falls for this trap, and he increases the perfection of his prayer. And of course, this is complete delusion. It's completely delusion into thinking so, because you are corrupting your own salah to perfect the salah of someone else. You are corrupting your intention to make someone the intention of someone else's their salah. So they might get, of course, they might benefit from you, but you will not deserve, you will not receive anything from it. So that's the second level. And then the third level was of the attack, where it becomes even more subtle, where a person is aware of the fact that there should be no difference between praying on your own or praying among people, or praying in public, praying where people can see you. Your prayer should be, as we all know, should be the same in the presence of people or when you are alone. Now, in order to maintain this parity, the similarity between the two prayer, when Shaitan knows that you are keen for this, then what he does is that he convinces the person to work on his prayer when he is alone in solitude, to practice, so that the prayer will become the same in public. In other words, when we are alone, we are beautifying our recitation of salah, we are reciting with nice tunes, and we're totally alone. While at the back of our minds, we're thinking, oh, how impressed people will be when they hear this recitation, and how when they see me pray like this, and when they see. And this is effectively riya, this is ostentation, this is showing off when you're completely alone, solitude. Shaitan gets you to do this. And we can fall into this trap. This is the trap of ostentation, even when we are, as I said, completely alone. So that was the third level. And then the fourth level, which is most abstruse, this is obscure and difficult to spot, is the one where Shaitan whispers to the individual saying, oh, people are watching you, so now you need to focus your mind on Allah. And the purpose of that is to shift. It's that he's drawn your attention to people, to the presence of people, that people are watching you and you need to focus your mind on Allah. And the person thinks that this is ikhlas. By doing that, now I'm focusing on Allah, I'm thinking about Allah. But what's happened is that this is also a form of deception, because you're modifying your behavior and prayer as a result of the presence of others. Whereas in reality, your heart should be focused on Allah, that Allah is watching me. Your heart should be aware of this. There should be no difference being seen by people or being seen by an animal. We do not feel the need to modify our behavior in salah if a cat walks into the room or if a bird looks at us while we are praying. We don't change our behavior that, oh, I have to pray properly because this bird is looking at me or this cat. The eyes of people and the eyes of an animal or an inanimate object are the same. And this is, of course, the fourth category, which is most difficult to spot. This is akhfa, as we heard in hadith, akhfa fi qalbi ibn Adam min dabib al-namlat al-sawda fi laylat al-dhalma ala al-sakhrat al-samma. It is more subtle than the crawling of a black ant in a dark night on a black stone. Kama warda, wa la yaslimu min al-shaytan. This is what he's saying, that you will not be safe from Shaitan except if you scrutinize your actions, scrutinize what you do. And for Shaitan mulazimun lil mutashammirin li ibadati Allah, the Shaitan is always after you. He doesn't give up. La yaghfalu anhu, عنهم لحظة. That he does not give up even for one moment. حتى يحملها على يحمله على الرياء. He wants to take you to الرياء. He wants to take you to show. في كل حركة من الحركات. In everything that you do. And of course, at the heart of the problem is these in all these levels is the habit of simulation. Is that we have this what is possibly known as theory of mind, but what we do is that we run simulations in our minds about the thoughts and the feelings of people. When we are in the presence of others, we tend to focus on what they are thinking and what they are feeling about your presence and your actions. But we do not do the same for inanimate objects or for animals. And so the task is to replace those simulations based on the presence of others and people with thoughts and contemplation about the presence of Allah. Thinking of Allah, that Allah is present, that Allah is ever present, that Allah is ever watching. He's watching you. He sees everything. So to become conscious of that instead of the eyes of people. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. That Allah is upon everything a witness. He's witnessing everything. That not even an atom's weight escapes Allah. Wala asghara min dhalik wala akbar. Not even lesser than that or more than that. Everything Allah is witness to it. So this is the key, is that it is muraqabah. It is to monitoring this, the fact that Allah is watching you. The third point was that using the example of prayer was, and this was his parting advice in this chapter, was that you use this example of prayer and extrapolate to other actions, your other deeds, other acts of worship, like that of wearing perfume on the day on Friday, which is sunnah, and other deeds of which are sunnah, and which you do for the sake of Allah ostensibly, but then it gets corrupted with these secondary, considerations, these simulations. So try to spot the intrusions and identify the deception and the tricks of the nafs in the corruption of the intention. So that was the summary. Now today, what I want to do is to read from a chapter that focuses on muraqabah, which is monitoring, and it is in the kitab. It's also related to ikhlas. It's related to this topic, but it's not in kitab al ikhlas. It's not in the book proper, but it definitely is part of it. It is part of ikhlas. So in this one, it's kitab al muraqabati wal hisab wa wal muhasabati, the book of monitoring and reckoning. It focuses on monitoring and controlling of our actions for the sake of Allah and success in the hereafter. And there are two levels. Al-maqam al-awwal min al-murabatati al-musharatati. The first station in taking control for monitoring yourself is the musharata, which means to set conditions for yourself, to make stipulations that will tie you to your commitments and your duties that you've set, that are upon you, to have a set of stipulations. You have to have a set of conditions set. And this is an important topic because it will help you to deal with the problem of taswif, the problem of procrastination, of wasting time. Because we often find ourselves making grand resolutions, you know, at the New Year's or I will change my habit and I'll turn the new page, and when Ramadan comes, I will change my New Year resolution is to change and to improve my Quran, to study Islam, to improve my khushu, my ikhlas, to increase my general practice of Islam, etc., etc. But when the demands of the daily life remain the same as the previous year, and when the worldly concerns remain the same, then the routines also remain the same, and everything slowly but fall back into the old patterns of life. And before you know it, all the resolutions and commitments and plans you've made have all gone out the window. So to pull ourselves out of this rut, we need schemes to tie our minds and hearts so that we can be wrenched out of the monotony of these routines. And our aspirations need to have new horizons, We need to set our gaze beyond, the usual, beyond the roti kapra makan, beyond the food, clothes, and shelter. And this life, of course, is a planting ground for a harvest in the next world. So we cannot spend most of it being distracted from our true destination, because that will be a waste of life. And of course, the problem of distraction in our modern world is now even is exacerbated. It's doubled. It's an increase. It's exacerbated to the degree where people are lost now with technology. Our minds are in a perpetual state of shallow functioning, where we're skimming through life from one thing to another without any time for reflection or for depth in our thoughts. We are losing the ability to concentrate. People aren't able to read books nowadays because they've become so accustomed to skimming through articles. Before one thought gets settled in the mind, we've already been bombarded with a whole plethora of new thoughts, one after the other, in a flood of information with no time to digest or process with concentration and reflection. So this is a much needed scheme which we find in this chapter, because our minds, so much is going on. Our minds are in constant spin, in a storm, like a tornado. We need schemes to anchor our mind, and this is what this chapter has. It has a prescription. This prescription, if you follow it, inshallah, you'll be able to. It will help you to anchor yourself and to follow through with the resolutions and the intentions and the plans you have for your life, for planning for akhirah. And he says, and the first task in this scheme is to see life in terms of trade and transaction. See it as a trade. See yourself as a... So he says, اعلم أن مطلب المتعاملين في التجارات المشتركين في البضائع عند المحاسبة سلامة الربح. He said that, know that the demand, that when people are trading and traders, their purpose is to have good profit. It's for profit. وكما أن التاجر يستعين بشريكه ويسلمه إليه المال حتى يتجر ثم يحاسبه. He said, just as a trader gives the property to his partner to invest in it, and then in the end he accounts with him, he takes account. فهكذا فكذلك العقل هو تاجر هو التاجر في طريق الآخرة. And so it is the mind. He's saying the intellect that Allah has given us, this mind, this intellect, this power to reason, power to calculate that Allah has given us, the intellect. This is also a tajir. It's also a trader, but trade in the trade of the akhirah. وَإِنَّمَا مَطْلَبُهُ رِبْحُهُ وَرِبْحُهُ تَزْكِيَةِ النُّفُوسِ. But the prophet it demands, the prophet it is seeking, is the purification of his soul. Purification of the soul, because that is where real success lies. As Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That truly he succeeds that purifies it, and he fails that corrupts it. The one who corrupts it fails. وَإِنَّمَا فَلَاحُهَا بِالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. So the success of the nafs, the success of your soul, is in doing good deeds. وَالْعَقْلُ يَسْتَعِينُ بِالنَّفْسِ فِي هَذِهِ التِّجَارَةِ. So the intellect seeks the help of it uses the body, it uses the nafs, it uses the soul, it uses the person, in this tijara, in this trade. Is yasta'miluha wa yastakhrijuha fima yuzakkiha, cleaning it and using it for the benefit of seeking profit. Kama yasta'inu at-tajir bi sharikihi wa ghulamihi alladhi yattajir fi. Just as a trader seeks help with his partner in the trade. So he says, kama anna ash-sharik yasiru khasman munaz'an yujazibuhu fi ar-ribh. That, and of course, there is always the danger that there may be a dispute, and the trader, a partner in a business, must lay down conditions. He must فَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَىٰ أَن يُشَارِطَهُ أَوَّلًا. That he must, first, he needs to lay down certain conditions. وَيُرَاقِبُهُ ثَانِيًا. And he's also required to have some oversight, some monitoring of what's going on. ويحاسبه, and then an accounting as well. And then يعاتبه أو يعاقبه. He may need to do some corrective. He may need to make some corrections at the end and take him to task. So all four of these are necessary in the trade. And likewise, وكذلك العقل. And so the intellect requires this. يحتاج إلى مشارطة النفس. It needs to take the nafs. It needs to set conditions and stipulations upon the nafs, upon the self, upon yourself. So this is a conversation you're having with yourself. فيوظف عليها الوظائف. So he places duties upon it. ويشترط عليه شروط. And then he sets condition. ويرشدها إلى طريق الفلاح. And he sets the path towards prosperity. ويجزم عليها الأمر بسلوك تلك الطريق. So he guides him towards that. ثم لا يغفل عنه عن مراقبتها لحظة. And he should keep an oversight over it, looking, monitoring it. فإنه لو أهملها. And he's saying that if he neglects the nafs, if he chooses not to follow, لم يرى منها إلا خسارة إلا الخيانة وتضييع رأس ماله. That he will not see if he is negligent, he just gives the money and keeps invest in it, but has no oversight, has no recourse for checking what's going on, then he will lose his money. كالعبد الخائن, like you give it to an untrustworthy servant, إذا خلى له الجو انفرض بالمال, he'll run away with the money. So ثم بعد الفراغ, بعد الفراغ ينبغي أن يحاسبها ويطالبها بالوفاء بما شرط عليه. And then on completion, he has to take him to account. So فإن هذه تجارة ربحها, and this trade that we're talking about here, تجارة ربحها الفردوس الأعلى. That this is a trade in which, this trade is a trade in which the profit is the ribh, the profit of it is firdaus al-a'la. It's the highest stage. This is what you're aiming for, the highest stage in Jannah. وَبُلُوغُ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى وَمَعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. In the lofty stages of Jannah where the prophets and the martyrs are. فَتَدْقِيقُ الْحِسَابِ فِي هَذَا. So strictures in scrutiny of your accounts. في هذا مع النفس, with yourself, to be strict with your nafs in accounting for what's going on, أهم كثيرا, it's far more important من تدقيقه في أرباح الدنيا. It is far more important than the scrutiny that we exercise with business, with worldly business. مع أنها محتقرة بالإضافة إلى نعيم الأقبى. And because the profit, the benefits that we will get from this worldly trade is despicable compared to the benefits of the akhirah. ثم كيفما كانت فمصيرها إلى التصرب والانقضاء. And whatever you gain in this world, whatever profit you gain, is all set to come to an end in this world. Everything sets to all the good. No matter how good it is in this world, it is faniya. It will come to an end. It you have to either leave it behind or it will diminish. It will eventually cease to be what it is when you got it. وَلَا خَيْرَ. And then Imam Ghazali is making this point. He's saying وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي خَيْرٍ لَا يَدُومٍ. And he said, so there is no good in something good that does not remain. بَلْ شَرٌ يَدُومُ خَيْرٌ فَبَلْ شَرٌ لَا يَدُومُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ خَيْرٍ لَا يَدُومٍ. He said that an evil that does not last is better than something good that do not last. Because in لأن الشر الذي لا يدوم إذا انقطع بقي الفرح بانقطاعه دائما وقد انقضى الشر. They said that something that is evil, when it comes to an end, then the thing that it remains is the joy of farj, the joy of being of the end of this, of the evil, and that remains. But a khair, something that is good, if that comes to an end, then what leaves, what la yadum, yabqa al-asaf ala inqita'ihi da'iman. That a person is left with the sadness and the grief of the loss of the something good. So and that remains. So that is why sharrun la yadumu khayrun min khayrin la yadum. That an evil that does not last is better than something good that does not last. And here he says, he quotes one of the poets, he said, أشد الغم عندي في سرور تيقن عنه صاحبه الانتقال. That the most intense grief for me is the happiness of he who has certainty in its fading away. So the point is that the comparison for this trade is the better trade. فَحَتْمٌ عَلَى كُلِّ ذِي حَزْمٍ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and la yaghfula an muhasabati nafsihi. So anyone who is serious about this, who believes in Allah and serious about his akhirah, then he should not neglect this, neglect taking himself to task. وتضييق عليها في حركتها وسكنتها وقطراتها وخطواتها. That and he should be strict on it, strict on his nafs, strict on himself in his actions, in his stillness, in his thoughts and in his steps. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ مِنْ أَنْفَاسِ الْعُمْرِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ مِنْ أَنْفَاسِ الْعُمْرِ جَوْهَرَةٌ نَفِيسَةٌ لَا عِوَضَ لَهَا. That every breath from the breaths of your life, from every breath you take in your life, each breath is a precious gem. لَا عِوَضَ لَهَا. There's nothing that can compensate for that. It's a precious gem. يمكن أن يشترى بها كنز من الكنوز لا يتناهى نعيمها أبد الآباد. That it is possible that you can purchase with one breath, you can purchase with one of these breaths of life, كنوز, كنزون, you can purchase a treasure from the treasures, from the eternal treasures for which the pleasures will never ever end. أبد الآباد. فانقضاء هذه الأنفاس ضاعيات ضاعية أو مفروضة إلى ما يجلب الهلاك خسران عظيم هائل. So wastage of this, of these breath that we have, one, because saying Subhanallah, saying Alhamdulillah, one breath, saying that is in purchase of treasures that will remain forever and ever. That is it. So أبد الآباد, forever and ever. And wasting of them is the greatest of all loss. It's a loss. لا تسمح به نفس عاقل. That an intelligent person will not, and one person with intellect will not allow this, cannot be satisfied with this kind of loss. Treasures could be purchased whose bliss is inexhaustible with one breath. And here is the prescription he offers. He says that in the morning, he said, وَإِذَا أَصْبَحَ عَلَى عَبْدُ, when you get up in the morning, وفرغ من فريضة الصبح, when you have prayed your صلاة الفجر, ينبغي أن يفرغ قلبه ساعة, that he clears his heart for a moment, for give it some time, لمشارطة النفس, to set conditions upon himself. This is what you do in the morning after صلاة الصبح. And if you don't get up for صلاة الصبح, you don't pray, if you happen to sleep and get up late, but whenever you get up, you pray salah, and then you set yourself this task that look, I will set conditions for today on myself. كما أن التاجر عند تسليم البضاعة إلى شريك العامل, just as a trader when he gives his wealth or his money to a partner to trade in it, he sets conditions. فيقول, so in the same way a person says to himself, فيقول للنفس, he says to himself, look here, مالي بضاعة إلا العمر. That I have no treasure. I have no wealth except my life. This life, this passing life that I have. ومهما فني, and whenever it comes to an end, فقد فني رأس المال. And when this life comes to an end, my entire capital is finished. I have no more capital. That is it. So he's saying to himself this. ووقع اليأس عن التجارة وطلب الرزق. So then there will be no more opportunity for trading and for seeking profit. وهذا اليوم الجديد, and said this day today that I have, this new day that I have, هذا اليوم الجديد قد أمهلني الله تعالى فيه, that Allah has given me an extension in it, with it, that this day, this new day that I have, Allah has given me an extension in it. وأنساني أجلي, and he is delayed my death, he's delayed my end. وأنعم علي, and he's bestowed upon me a favor. أنعم علي. That, so this is اليوم جديد, كم أمهلني, he's extended my life. And in reality it is, because when you go to sleep, sleep is death. When you go to sleep, Sleep is the sister of death. And when we wake up in the morning, what do we say? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. That praise be to Allah who has brought us back to life after having passed us through death. So this is literally what Allah does, bring us back to life when we go to sleep. He's bringing us because sleep is the sister of death. So you say to yourself, look, Allah has given me an extra day here. This new day, Allah has given me an extension. وَلَوْ تَوَفَّانِي, and if Allah had not brought me back and he took me back, I had died last night, لَكُنْتُ أَتَمَنَّى أَنْ يَرْجِعَنِي إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يَوْمًا وَاحِدًا. That if he had taken me back last night, I would have wished that Allah would send me back for just one day. حَتَّى أَعْمَلَ فِيهَا صَالِحًا. So that I might do good. I would wish to come back just for one day so that I can do as good as I can. So he's saying now, say to yourself, look, after you've understood that, then say to yourself, فَحْسِبِي أَنَّكِ قَدْ تُوفِيتْ. That now consider yourself that you died. That you died last night, ثُمَّ رُدِدْتْ, and then Allah brought you back to life. He's given you this extra day. فَإِيَّاكِ ثُمَّ إِيَّاكِ أَن تُضَيْعِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. So he's saying, be careful, be very careful not to waste today. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ مِنَ الْأَنْفَاسِ جَوْهَرَةٌ لَا قِيمَةَ لَهَا. That every breath from the breaths of life are gems, are invaluable gems. وَعْلَمِي يَا نَفْسِ. And know, when you speak to yourself and say, know, oh you nafs, أَنَّ الْيَوْمَ وَاللَّيْلَةِ. The day and the night. أربعون أن اليوم والليلة أربعون وعشرون ساعة. That know that the night and day is consisted of 24 hours. وقد ورد في الخبر, and then there is a report, أنه ينشر للعبد كل يوم وليلة 24 خزانة مصفوفة. That it is reported that in a khabar that look, there's for the individual on the day of judgment, for every day and 24 chests, 24 stores will be laid out in front of him, in front of you, in a line, 24 stores. And each box, each khazana, each chest represents the hour of that day. So for each day, you have 24 that will be laid out. And for each hour, there is a khazana. There is a box. There is a store that will be opened. فَيُفْتَحْ لَهُ مِنْهَا خَزَانَةٌ. So one will be open. And when the first one is open, فَيَرَاهَا مَمْلُوءَةً نُورًا مِّنْ حَسَنَاتِ الَّتِي عَمِلَهَا فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ. And then he will see that it's bristling with nur, with lights, and min hasanat, of the good deeds that he has done. When one is open. And this is giving you an example of the kind of interaction will be with those with that opening. He said that the light will emanate from that. الَّتِي عَمِلَ بِهَا فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ فَيَنَالُ مِنَ الْفَرَحِ. Of the good things that he has done from that will come out of that chest. فَيَنَالُ مِنَ الْفَرْحِ وَالسُّرُورِ وَالْإِسْتِبْشَارِ بِمُشَاهَدَةِ تِلْكَ الْأَنْوَارِ الَّتِي هِيَ وَصِيلَةٌ عِنْدَ الْمَلِكِ الْجَبَّارِ. That he said that he will enter into a stage of ecstasy and joy such that with this you can reach, we will get to, it will take him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لو ما لو وزع على أهل النار لأدهشهم ذلك الفرح عن الإحساس بألم النار. They said so much so, he will be so happy that were it to be distributed among the dozens of fire, then the joy would dazzle them from feeling the pain of the fire. He said, and then فيفتح له خزانة أخرى. But then another box is opened, another chest is opened. سوداء مظلمة. Dark stuff is in it. Dark. And then a terrible stench will emerge from it. And then he is enveloped in the darkness of it. And this box represents the hour in which he disobeyed Allah. He did something against the command of Allah. He disobeyed Allah, knowing that Allah was seeing what you did. فينال منه الهول من الهول فيناله من الهول والفزع ما لو قسم على أهل الجنة لنغصها لنغص عليهم نعيمها. That he said that when this happens, he will be gripped by such a fear, by such terror and horror, so much that if it were distributed to the inhabitants of Jannah, it would distract them from the pleasures and delight of it. So this is the difference between the two types of khazana, two types of khazan, these stores, these boxes, these chests. وهي ساعة. And then يفتح له خزانة أخرى. And then another box is open, أخرى فارغة ليس فيها. And it is empty, there's nothing in it. ما ليس فيها ما يسره وما لا يسوءه. That nothing makes him happy, nothing makes him sad in that. And that is هي الساعة التي نام فيها. This is the one in which he slept. He became غفلة. غفلة. And he became negligent. He didn't do anything. أو اشتغل بشيء من المباحات الدنيا. Or he did some neutral thing, something that is neither sin nor is it act of worship. But what happens then? فيتحسر على خلوها. But then he enters into a state of regret over that empty box. ويناله من الغبن من غبن ذلك ما ينال القادر على الربح الكثير والملك الكبير والملك الكبير إذا أهمله وتساهل فيه حتى فاته. He said he's gripped by that sense of more of loss, mutual loss, by someone who is able to earn a large treasure, a large fortune, and misses the opportunity. How would you feel? You will feel that. So, and think about it. Nahid, and this, وهكذا تعرض عليه خزائن أوقاته طول عمره. And so his treasures, his chests of every hour for every day will be presented to him over his entire life. That this is what you did and this is what you did. And this is supported by hadith where ما من ساعة تمر بابن آدم لم يذكر الله فيها إلا تحصر عليها يوم القيامة. That there isn't an hour, there isn't an hour that will pass on the child, on the son of Adam, in which he did not do the dhikr of Allah, except that he will enter into a state of immense regret on the day of judgment. That there is only one regret in Jannah, and that will be the moment, the hour that passed in which you did not remember Allah, you did not indulge in the dhikr of Allah. So Imam Ghazali is saying here, فَيَقُولُ لِنَفْسِهِ اجْتَهِدِي الْيَوْمِ فِي أَن تَعْمُرِي خَزَانَتِكِ. So he said to work hard so that today you will fill, you will populate your these khazain, these boxes, these chests in, that you have to fill, that represents each hour. وَلَا تَدْعِيهَا فَارِغَةً. And don't leave it empty. عَنْ كُنُوزِ الَّتِي هِيَ أَسْبَابُ مُلْكِكِ. And don't leave it, so because these treasures that you will have, these are the ones that will that these are the means through which you will so you will be successful. ولا تميلي إلى الكسل والدعة والاستراحة فيفوتك من درجات العليين وما يدركه غيرك. It said others, don't let other people get the high stages and you have missed out. وتبقى عندك, and then عندك حسرة. And then you will be regretful. You'll be full of remorse, and you will have intense regret. لا تفارقك وإن دخلت الجنة. This regret will not leave you even if you enter into paradise eventually. فألم الغبن والحسرة لا يطاق وإن كان دون ألم النار. That the pain of regret is also is unbearable. Also, even though it is less than the pain of the fire, it is also a pain. It's also a source of pain. فهذه وصيته لنفسه في أوقاته. So this is the first part of the scheme. He's saying that this is what he does. He sets these conditions, these stipulations upon himself in relation to his time, because time is the when it goes. Every minute that passes is a minute that will never return from your life. Every minute that passes, every breath you take. So these are all countdowns for your life, and they are gems that you can earn from them. And then the next stage is that ثُمَّ لِيَسْتَعْنِفْ. Then he moves on, then he assumes, he said, ثُمَّ لِيَسْتَعْنِفْ لَهَا وَصِيَّةً فِي أَعْضَائِهِ السَّبْعَ. And then he says to his to himself, he seeks a commitment in relation to seven organs of the body, to his seven organs, to the seven organs of his body, which are هي العين والأذن واللسان والبطن والفرج واليد والرجل. It is the eye, the ears, the tongue, the stomach, the private part, the hand and the feet. ويسلمها إليها فإنها رعاية خادمة للنفس. That these organs are in service. They are servants to the self. في هذه التجارة, in this trade that you have. وبها تتم أعمال هذه التجارة. And it is with these organs that the actions of this trade is achieved. وإن لجهنم سبعة أبواب. And جهنم also have seven doors. ولكل باب منهم جزء مقسوم. And it's all divided clearly. So maybe one of these, for every organ of the body, there's a different door through that is for this to take the sin. So he's saying that, look, this is what you do. أما العين, so in regard to the eye, he says, فَيَحْفَظُهَا عَنِ النَّظَرِ إِلَى وَجْهِ مَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مُحْرِمٌ. So he then protects it from looking at, he says, this eye now, for today now, we're making this condition. You will not look at things that you're not supposed to look at. وَإِلَى عَوْرَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ أَوْ إِلَى النَّظَرِ إِلَى الْمُسْلِمِ بِعَيْنِ الْإِحْتِقَارِ. Or looking at a Muslim, it said, looking at a Muslim with the eye of contempt. And so, بَلْ عَنْ كُلِّ فُضُولٍ مُسْتَغْنَ عَنْهُ. And everything that is dispensable, everything that is fudul, everything that is dispensable, everything that is not, that does not bring you any benefit, that doesn't, you know. And today this is the big problem of our day, is that we spend so much time using the eye to look at things that are of no benefit to us. We see things all day long that are fudul, that are dispensable. We can dispense with them and there'll be no harm. And we engage with them and there are no benefit. So he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَسْأَلُ عَبْدَهُ عَنْ فُضُولِ النَّظَرِ. That Allah will ask about, there is hisab, about fudul al-nazar, about dispensable glances, these things that you weren't, unnecessary glances, things. كَمَا يَسْأَلُ عَنْ فُضُولِ الْكَلَامِ. Just as he will ask about unnecessary speech. Yep. So this is something to be that you place this stipulation on the eye, that look, you're going to be used. ثم إذا صرفها عن هذا, that once he is shifty, is brought the consciousness of the eye, that look, this is what you will be pulled away from, that you will not do any of that, then you make a condition, you stipulate to the eye that look, that you have to remember that you were, for what you were you created, ثم صرفها عن هذا لم تقنع حتى يشغلها بما في نجاتها وربحها. That he has to draw it now towards actions that in which there is its survival, which there is its true survival, not the survival in this world, but the survival in the akhirah, its success in the akhirah, profit in the akhirah. وَهُوَ مَا خُلِقَتْ لَهُ. And it is for which it was created. مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ عَجَائِبِ صُنْعِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِعَيْنِ الْإِعْتِبَارِ. To look at the wonder, to look at the wonders of the creation of Allah with the eye of i'tibar, with the eye of consideration and taking lessons to learn. Look at Allah's creation. Use the eye. This is what it was created for. To use the eye to look at Allah's creation and say, "Huh, Allah created this. That this is my Allah's creation, and Allah is ahsanul khaliqin. He's the best of creator. There's none like him who can create. That he has created this new leaf. As we walk around now in spring, we will see leaves coming out, leaves, millions and millions of leaves coming back to life. Who is doing that? That is Allah is bringing it back to life. You know, when a new, as I mentioned this earlier, that when a new bunch of fruit used to arrive in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to place it on his eyes and he used to say, "The hadith wa'adin bi rabbina," that this is recently, this is newly created by Allah. So to make the connection, to use your eyes to look at Allah's creation and connect it to Allah, remember Allah. This is what عين الاعتبار. This is what this is known as عين الاعتبار. And an eye that has the heart to connect it to Allah, to see Allah's power, to see Allah's creative power. That's what Allah is doing. والنظر إلى أعمال الخير. Instead, use it also والنظر إلى أعمال. You will now, you're saying to your nafs that today I'm going to use my eyes. والنظر إلى أعمال الخير للإقتداء. I will look at good actions so that I may emulate. So to follow, to follow in the footsteps of the pious. So how do I look at that? How do I look at good deeds? I spend time with pious people. I spend time with ulama. I sit and look up at their actions and follow their actions. Or I read about ulama. I read about the seerah of the sahaba, so seerah of the pious people. This is looking at a'mal al-khayr lil-iqtida. And then, وَالنَّظَرْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, looking at Allah's book. That is ibadah. Looking at the words of Allah is ibadah. You know, there was a story of a woman who died and she couldn't read the Quran. And then she entered into Jannah, and then someone saw her in a dream and said, how did you get in? And she said, from what I used to do with the Quran. And she used to open the Quran. She couldn't read. She was illiterate. But she used to put her fingers on in the Quran and says, Yabi sahih, yabi sahih, yabi sahih, yabi haqq, yabi haqq. That this is truth, and this is truth, and this is truth, and this is truth. And through that, Allah forgive her, was forgiven her. So this is the kind of looking, just the mere looking of it. وَسُنَّةِ الرَّسُولِ, and learning about the sunnah, using your eyes to read about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that you can then follow it. We read about the lives of the sunan of all kinds of celebrities. We know all kinds of details about this, about the lives of celebrities, but we do not know the details of the life of the example that was sent to us by the creator of the heavens and the earth, by the creator, by our creator, by Allah. This is the life that we should be intimately familiar with, so that we can follow his sunnah, so that we can value it, so that we can appreciate this guidance. And then finally, وَمُطَارَعَةِ كُتُبِ الْحِكْمَةِ الْحِكْمَةِ لِيَتْعَاضِ, and then books of wisdom, books in which the scholars have written, so that you can benefit. So that is with the eye. وَهَكَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُفَصِّلَ الْأَمَرِ, and so he needs to delineate, he needs to go into detail. أَمْرَ عَلَيْهَا عَضْوٍ عَضْوٍ, from one of these seven, with all the seven. وَلَا سَيِّمَا اللِّسَانِ وَالْبَطْنِ, that, and of course, the tongue and the stomach. And in this, he should engage in all organs, but the tongue, the tongue is the place of great danger. That the tongue can flow without much effort. It doesn't need to make much effort. It flows like water. And its crimes are immense. They are mountainous. Bil ghibati wal kizbi wal namima wa tazkiyati nafs wa madammati al khalq wal at'ima wal la'n wal du'a ila a'da wal mumarati fil kalam wa ghayri dhalika. He said the tongue has all types of evil, severe when it comes to backbiting, tailbearing, telling lies, giving prestige to oneself, criticizing, condemning others, invoking evil on people, disputation in speech, etc., etc. All of this. وَذَلِكَ مِمَّا ذَكَرْنَاهُ فِي كِتَابِ آفَاتِ اللِّسَانِ, and these are of the things that we mentioned in the book of calamities, of evils of the tongue, calamities of the tongue. And for those of you who have not listened, who have not heard, who have not listened to the series on آفَاتِ اللِّسَانِ, calamities of the tongue, I strongly urge you to take some time out and listen to that series. The series, there are 40 lectures, a short, I think 40 or yes, somewhere around there. No, 20. Yeah. There are 20 lectures on Afat al-Lisan, and there are calamities of the tongue. This is very important because the entire body beckons to the tongue every morning and says that إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكْ, that look, we are with you. إِذَا اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِذَا عَوَجَجْتَ عَوَجَجْنَا, that if you remain straight, that the tongue, all the organs of the body, even the heart, looks to the tongue. And say, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِينَا, that said, fear Allah in our regard. Because if you remain straight, then we will all remain straight. And if you slip, then everything will go. Then we will all slip. فَهُوَ صَدَدُ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ فَوَمَا عَنَّهُ خُلِقَ لِلذِّكْرِ, the tongue has been created for dhikr and tadhkir. The tongue has been created for dhikr, for remembrance of Allah, and for teaching and for guiding the servants of people, the servants of Allah, towards Allah. وَتِكْرَارِ الْعِلْمِ, the tongue has been created for the revision of knowledge and for teaching of this knowledge of guidance, وإرشاد عباد الله إلى طريقه إلى طريق الله and the guiding of people towards the path of Allah وإصلاح ذات البين and for reconciliation between people وسائر خيراته. Oh, all these are goods. فليشترط على نفسه أن لا يحرك اللسان طول نهاره إلا في الذكر. So he puts a condition on his tongue and says, you say to your tongue that look, now I will not continue. Today my tongue will be kept controlled either in the dhikr of Allah or doing something that will be of benefit to me in the akhirah, saying something. Because nutqul mu'mini dhikrun wa nadharuhu ibratun wa samtuhu fikratun, that the speech of the believer should be remembrance, his vision, his eyes, his nadhar, his look should be a source of consideration and contemplation, and his silence should be reflection and meditation. So, you know, this is where Allah says that there is someone above. He said, وَمَا يَلْفُظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, that we are told in the Quran that not a word does he utter, but there is a sentinel above him. There's a sentinel ready to note it. There's an angel there ready to grab it. So that is in relation to the tongue. You say that to the tongue. وَأَمَّا الْبَطْنِ, as for the stomach, فَيُكَلِّفُهُ تَرْكُ الشَّهْرِ, that he says to the tongue, to the stomach, look, you have to force yourself to leave greed, not to eat. وَتَقْلِيلَ أَكْلِ الْحَلَالِ, even halal food, you should not enter into gluttony, and avoid what is suspicious. اجتناب الشبهات, suspicious food. وَيَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الشَّهْوَاتِ, and then he should withdraw from gluttony and appetence. And then ويقتصر على قدر الضرورة, and he suffices to the level of necessity. He doesn't go beyond necessity. ويشترط على نفسه, and he sets this condition on enough that look, if you violate this condition, then I will make it even more strict on you. I'm going to deny you more. So this is a conversation of in this trade as a trader, with the strictness of a trader, how a business person approaches his trade. This is, we are learning, we're using those same faculties to do musharata, to do these transactions and stipulations with ourselves. كَمَا يَشْتَرِطُ عَلَيْهَا جَمِيعُ الْعَضَى, and he does this with all the other organs of the body. And after setting conditions on the organs of his body, then he should make stipulations for tasks that are good deeds, you know, nawafil, doing good deeds, sunnah, nawafil, organizing his minds so that he prepares to accomplish it. وَهَذِهِ شُرُوط يَفْتَقِرْ إِلَيْهَا فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ, he needs this every day. وَلَكِنْ إِذَا تَعَوَّدَ الْإِنسَانِ شَرْطَ ذَلِكَ, that if he needs these conditions every day, but if he habituates himself with this for a few days and his nafs then begins to obey him and behave, then he can do without it on a daily basis. But he says also that look, that المشارطة فيها بقية, ولكن لا يخلو كل يوم عن مهم من جديد, that there are new situations and new circumstances that emerge with every new day, and so you will need to sit, give some time to think about things and to set stipulations and conditions, because if you leave it, then things have a tendency to gravitate towards the worse. So once you set your time, set yourself the task and be able to move towards it, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the tawfiq to do it. And more generally, he says, you know, when you embark on a new thing, he says that إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَمْرًا فَتَدَبَّرْ عَاقِبَتَهُ فَإِنْ كَانَ رُشْدًا فَامْضِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ غَيًّا فَانْتَهِبِ. He said that if you intend to do something, this is Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, he said that if you intend to do something new, then think about the consequences. Think about the ultimate consequence in this thing. فَإِنْ كَانَ رُشْدًا, if it is something that will lead to success in the akhirah, then proceed with it. And if it's otherwise, then avoid it. So to keep your intellect dominant in this, over the desires, قال بعض الحكماء, this is another quote, he said, إذا أردت أن يكون العقل غالبا للهوى فلا تعمل بقضاء الشهوة حتى تنظر العاقبة, that if you want your intellect to remain dominant over your desires because your emotions, so do not embark on anything on the basis of your desire, on the basis of your impulse. حتى تنظر unless you have contemplated the consequences, the long term consequences, the consequences of it in the آخرة. فإن مكث الندامة أكثر من مكث خفة الشهوة. That the ندامة, regret is more it has a greater tendency to remain in the mind and the heart more than the benefit that you will get or the pleasure you will get from fulfilling your desires. So he said, and then he quotes Luqman. He says that إن المؤمن إذا أبصر العاقبة أمن الندامة. That if a person looks towards the consequences, the consequence in the long term in the akhirah, then he will be safe from regret. وهذا كله إشارة إلى المحاسبة للمستقبل. And this is all indication about looking at the future, looking at your future and being. He said إذ قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت. But the one who is truly intelligent, the one who uses his intellect, is the one who controls his nafs and prepares for what is after death. So in summary, the prescription is to value your life in terms of segments of days, hours, and breaths. Every breath is an opportunity in the form of a precious gem. Every breath is a precious gem with which you can purchase everlasting treasures in the hereafter. The harvest of each day will be laid out in 24 chests before you, representing the 24 hours of each day. And its contents will pour out in front of us. In other words, the years, the minutes, the seconds of our lives is our capital, is the capital with which we can trade for the akhirah. So we should not waste any moment of it. The tragedy, however, nowadays is that we spend hours and hours wasting time in useless pursuits, especially through the eyes, with devices that swamp our minds with irrelevant and useless information. And so the message today is to stop and take stock. Imam Ghazali's prescription is to set conditions on yourself for every 24 hours of the day and stick to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, the willpower and the strength to put our minds and hearts into gear and focus in this trade for rewards and success in the hereafter, inshallah. Let us pray. Subhanallah. Allahumma anta rabbuna la ilaha illa ant. خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون بها علينا مصائب الدنيا يا ربي يا كريم. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا واجعله الوارث منا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا. اللهم ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم لا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات يا ربي يا كريم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه.